Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon. Welcome in. It is Sunday morning, or whenever you are choosing to watch this online. We're glad that you have tuned in, and we are starting a new series this morning, Embracing Gratefulness and Gratitude. But before we get into the message, as we started last week on our recorded messages, I want to give you some announcements on things that are going on here at Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene, GCNAZ, as we like to call it. So here are a few announcements. First of all, coming up today, Sunday, November 5th, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, our men are going to be meeting at the Saddle Hill Par 3 Golf Course at 3 o'clock, and this is for ages 13 and up, boys, men, and we're going to play some golf together, and if you're like me, you may not be very good, but that's okay, we're going to have a good time. After we play some golf, we're going to go to Darby Bell's house, and we're going to have a time of fellowship and some food, so if you want to go, contact the church office, contact John Angus if you've got his number, contact me, and we will get you plugged in so that you can be a part or just show up. I'm sure we can make it work, so it's going to be a great time. Also, coming up in a couple weeks, a couple Sundays, or is it next Sunday? Next Sunday. Man, it's almost here. We have our Thanksgiving dinner. It is unbelievable that we are into Thanksgiving season already. And November 12th at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we're going to have a meal. If you'd like to help with that meal, there are lots of things that we could still use. So if you would contact the church office about that this week and let us know what you're able to contribute if you have not signed up already. And we are going to have a great time. Invite your family and let's celebrate Thanksgiving a little early, a couple weeks early this year, together on November 12th. Following that, the week before Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving, Saturday the 19th, we're going to have our first ever night of worship. It's going to have worship, prayer, and testimonies, testimony time. It's going to be a great time. Our worship director, Rosemary, is putting that together, and I am just really excited about having night to worship together as a church family, to pray together as a church family, and then, of course, to hear what God is doing in the lives of some of our people. So again, that's November 19th at 5 o'clock, again, here in the sanctuary, and we will celebrate. We will not be meeting together the following Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so this is going to be our last opportunity before Thanksgiving to get together as a church family, so I would encourage you, be here that night. And then a new announcement this week, one more that we want to share with you, really excited about this. Our Ladies' Christmas Tea is coming on December 1st. It's going to be from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's going to be a great time. I will not be there. I will actually be at a dinner for pastors on our district, but this is going to be a great time for ladies to get together. Tickets are on sale starting now, today, and the cost is $5 for kids between 6 and 12, girls between 6 and 12, and then also $10 for anyone 13 and above. Okay, so make sure you get that money into the office and get your tickets purchased. If you're purchasing tickets for other people, that's great. Childcare will be provided for little babies. And attire is Sunday dress. We're also asking, our ladies are asking you to bring a teacup, if you've got one, for personal use, and a Christmas ornament for the ornament exchange. So that's going to be a great thing that our ladies do. And just something to note, one of the things that our ladies ministry, women's ministry has been doing this year is talking about the theme of faith over fear. And so for the Christmas tea, our speaker, Kathy Aller, is actually trying to make a booklet full of scriptures that are coming from you on ways that you have overcome fear, where scriptures that have helped you, encourage you in the midst of trying times. And so out at the table, we have some cards, and on the back of those cards, you can fill in any scripture verses, any passages. Just the reference, you know, 1 Kings something. You just put that on the back and put it in an envelope, And we will put those all together and have some booklets for you at the ladies' tea that are just going to be an encouragement, I think, to all of our ladies. So participate in that. It's going to be a great time. And I'm just really glad we have an opportunity for our girls and for our ladies to get together and worship together and learn together. It's going to be a good time. So be encouraged with that. All right, well, let's get into our message this morning. Again, we're starting this new series, Embracing Gratefulness and Gratitude. Yes, we are in Thanksgiving season. Halloween has come and gone. If you were not here at Fall Fest this last week, man, it was a great time. We had a record number, 342 people came on our campus this year, and we got to minister to them and share love with them. It was a great time. If you were not involved in Fall Fest this year, I would encourage you next year, be involved. Don't miss the opportunity to share the love of Christ with people in our community. We were truly an alternative, a safe place for families to come and celebrate Halloween. But as we turn into the Thanksgiving season, and really the holiday season as a whole, distractions and challenges arise, don't they? And I wonder how often in the midst of those challenges, and in the midst of those distractions, do we take the time to be grateful? Over the next 3 weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, we are going to explore how we as a church and as individuals can better embrace a culture of gratefulness and gratitude. Now, today, we're going to be talking through the Psalms, one psalm in particular, Psalm 100. And for many people who have been raised in the church, this will be a very familiar psalm to you. If you've never been to church before, or this is the first time tuning in and watching one of our messages, don't be scared. It's a very short psalm, so that's good. And it's very straightforward. But we're going to look at Psalm 100. So open your Bibles. It's only five verses. But I will tell you this, it's loaded with spiritual nuggets. Yes, I called them spiritual nuggets this morning. Before we get there, though, I've realized something about our world. I think I've always known this to be true, but the past few years have shown it to be increasingly true. The thought is this: discontentment and ingratitude seem to be natural responses in a world that constantly tells us we need more. I'm going to say that again. Discontentment and ingratitude seem to be natural responses in a world that constantly tells us we need more. This is a sad truth, church. Our world tells us that nothing is ever good enough. We always need to strive for the next best thing, the next best job, the next best piece of technology, the next best spouse. Let me give you an example from my life. So back in 2011, I got my first iPhone. Seems like a long time ago, 12 years ago. iPhones have changed a lot in 12 years, okay? And I'm going to show you how they changed by showing you the number of iPhones that I have owned and what they looked like, okay? So the first one was the iPhone 3GS. Yeah. Man, that's old looking, isn't it? Like, that's old school iPhone right there. It didn't do very much, but it was cool. It was touchscreen, first real touchscreen phone like it. You could have music on it. You could even do video with it and pictures. It was really cool, right? Well, then, a couple years later, I upgraded. My first time upgrading, and I upgraded to the iPhone 5S. I didn't go with just the 5. I had the 5S. And the 5S was about that wide, had kind of that metal casing on the outside, and it looked a little different. And it had actually the first time you had a camera facing you, which was really neat. You could do selfies. So this is when the selfie generation began, was with the iPhone 5S. Then I moved up to the iPhone 6 Plus. And so this was back in the day when they started making cell phones bigger again, right? And the iPhone 6 was like a brick as far as size. It was just huge and it barely fit in my pocket. Now we look at that and it's like not even a big deal. But you can tell the screen was different. They changed kind of the look of the iPhone, the operating system. And it was an amazing advancement in technology when we got to the iPhone 6. Well, then I upgraded to the iPhone 7, which was sleeker. The camera was better. It was an amazing phone. Then I moved up to the iPhone 8. There's the iPhone 8 there. Not a whole lot of difference between iPhone 7 and iPhone 8, although some people would tell you there was. Then I made my biggest jump. Then I went to the iPhone 11. And it came in all these cool colors. I think my iPhone 11 was red, maybe. I'm not sure. But it had two cameras on it. I mean, can you imagine? Two cameras on a cell phone. Yeah, that was unbelievable. And then I made my jump to the iPhone 12 Pro Max, which was my last cell phone. And I got the three cameras on that one, and it was able to do all kinds of things that no camera phone has ever been able to do before. And it was wonderful. And then, like all iPhones, they become obsolete. And I just recently upgraded to the last one, the newest one that I have, which is the iPhone 14 Pro Max. That's what I have here in my hand. And I know the iPhone 15 just came out, but I never upgrade when those new phones come out. I wait till they're, you know, the bugs are worked out hopefully a little bit before I were to upgrade. So I'm always behind the times a little bit, but I do have the iPhone 14. And I share this with you not to like be like, ooh, look at me. I got the next closest iPhone or something. I say that because even I, as somebody who really is focused on Christ, like my life is about Jesus, even I can get wrapped up in this stuff. And when we look at like just the iPhone example that I've been giving you, they're made to fail. Do you know that iPhone, Apple, they actually are obsolete after 5 years? They don't make parts for them. They don't fix them after 5 years. That's all Apple products. And they do that intentionally, right? It's a marketing ploy. It's a business thing, right? If we don't upgrade it, if we don't make parts anymore, then what do they have to do? Upgrade, right? Get a new one. Spend more money. And we fall right into this trap as Americans, don't we? In 12 years, I have owned 8 different iPhones, and a few Androids were sprinkled in there too over the time. And for me, much of the time, it was always just the next best thing. Now, some of the times it was because I had, you know, issues with my phone and I just happened to have a free upgrade available, and so I did the upgrade. But nevertheless, it was always because I went with the next best iPhone. We always think we need to have something better. So that's the long and short of this, church. We are always looking for something better. And here's the problem with thinking we need to have something better. It's easy to forget the blessings that surround us and to focus on what we lack. When we are focusing on the next best thing, we are forgetting the blessings that surround us and we're turning our focus on what we don't have. That is not a healthy way to do life, church. That is not how God wants us to live life. Let's turn to the scripture, Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And His faithfulness continues to each generation. want to break down this scripture and basically look at it from the perspective of the elements of gratefulness and thanksgiving that are illustrated in this psalm, Psalm 100. First of all, there is a corporate expression of joy. When I say corporate, I don't mean like a business. I mean, as a church, we corporately, together as one body, express joy together. It says in verse 1, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth. The call to shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth, is not just an individual act, but it's one that involves all of the earth, meaning everybody, everyone. We are all to join in shouting joy to the Lord. This implies that our gratefulness, it isn't something to be hoarded or to be kept to ourselves, but it rather is something to be expressed corporately within the community of faith, the body of Christ. The second thing we learn is that we must joyfully worship the Lord. We must joyfully worship God. You know, sometimes we'll walk into church and our mind is focused on things outside. Maybe it's family problems. Maybe it's job related, financially related, whatever the case is. And we almost begrudgingly come in to worship and it's about us. It's not really about Him. Our focus is not about Him, it's about us. The psalm, when we see worship the Lord with gladness, come before Him singing with joy, the psalm calls for joyful worship. Your pastor is going to be a little hard on you for a moment. I never understand when people say, I get no joy out of worship. I don't get that. Because worship is about joy. You know, when you come to worship and you're just, I don't understand that. Joy is supposed to be flowing out of you. But if you're like this, are you experiencing joy? Now, some of you may say, yes, I am, Pastor. You just don't see it. It's on the inside. But can I encourage you of something? We're not supposed to keep that on the inside. That maybe somebody around you needs to see you engaging in worship for them to be engaged. Here's the trick about the people who stand on this stage and lead us in worship each week. Rosemary and I have told them this time and time again, and they all know it. Their job is to worship. Their job's not to worry about if they've got the right note at a given time. Like, yeah, they want to do that, but their job's not to worry about singing the best that they possibly can sing. Or playing the piano or another instrument, the best that they can play it, their job is to worship God first. And we've told them that if they worship, if they are authentically worshiping in their own spirit, they will lead us, the congregation, into worship. That's how they do it, by being authentic worshipers themselves. They don't have to manufacture anything. They don't have to try and stir up emotion in you guys. What they have to do is worship. That's their goal. And that should be our goal every time we step into the sanctuary of our God. The gratitude expressed through our worship isn't a reluctant obligation. It's a joyful response to who God is, to how good God is. It suggests that the act of worship itself should be infused with the spirit of thanksgiving. We worship because we're thankful for what God has done in our life, church. We don't worship because somebody tells us to. We don't worship because we like the music or not. We worship because of the thankfulness in our heart. Can I tell you as well? It doesn't matter the type of music we do. It doesn't. It doesn't matter the style. It doesn't matter the volume or lack thereof. What matters is the heart. When it comes to worship, I personally have worshiped where there are Gregorian chants. I've worshiped where it was four square gospel. I've worshiped where it was Southern gospel and hymns. And I've worshiped in the rockingest, most heavy metal driven type worship experience that would drive many of you nuts. But I was able to worship because it's about the heart. It's not about the music, and it's not about anything else than what this says. Infuse a worship sense that is infused with a spirit of thanksgiving. Third thing we learn is that we must acknowledge God's sovereignty when we worship. The Lord is God. The psalm begins with a call to shout with joy to the Lord, and it continues by reminding us that He made us and we are His. He does not belong to us, we belong to Him. This is an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty, His creative power. And that forms the foundation for our gratitude. Recognizing who God is helps us to appreciate all that He has done for us, church. If you recognize that Christ is Lord, that Christ is God, and then you recognize little by little the things in your life that God is doing and has done for you, that creates that spirit of thanksgiving. That spirit of gratefulness and gratitude, it just wells up inside of you, waiting to burst forth. Next, we must enter God's presence with thanksgiving. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's what the scripture says. Gratefulness is described as the proper entry ticket into God's presence. That when we come to worship, we need to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving isn't just something to be done once we are in God's presence, but it is the manner by which we enter God's presence. Does that make sense? It's not what happens when we get in, it's how we get in. You see? Next, we must be grateful for God's character. We must be grateful for God's character. It says, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation, on and on and on down the line. The psalm ends with a focus on God's character. For the Lord is good. His love, His unfailing love, continues forever. It continues for generation to generation to generation, right? This suggests that our gratitude should not only be for what God does, but it should also be for who God is. His goodness. His enduring love. His faithfulness are in and of themselves reasons for a perpetual sense of thanksgiving. You see, when we look at God and we look at who He is and what He has done, thanksgiving should never stop. I've always kind of laughed at as an adult the idea of Thanksgiving, the celebration, right? In America, Thanksgiving has become this food holiday. And don't get me wrong, I love turkey. And next Sunday, I will be eating lots of turkey. But here's the thing. If we need a holiday to remind us of being thankful, then we've missed the entire point of being a follower of Christ. Pastor, that's harsh. Church. We have to live with a spirit of thanksgiving all the time. We don't need the federal government to tell us, hey, this is a federal holiday, Thanksgiving. Go and be thankful. If you need that, your heart's in the wrong place, church. You need to change your heart with the help of the Holy Spirit. The last piece that we learn from this is there must be a generational gratefulness. A thankfulness that is passed down. You know, we hear all the time about how there's an entitled generation of teenagers and kids, young adults, right? They're so entitled. And there's probably a lot of truth to that. But you know why that is? Because we as parents have not passed along gratefulness and thankfulness to our kids. It's on us. The psalm speaks of God's faithfulness continuing from generation to generation. And this psalm is encouraging us to have a perspective of long-term, ongoing gratefulness that extends beyond our current situations and is passed down from generation to generation to our kids and to our grandkids. We are responsible for teaching our kids to be thankful. You know, as sinners, broken, original sin, we're not embedded with this idea of thankfulness, church. We're embedded with the idea of selfishness and self-reliance. We need to teach our kids it's important to say thank you. And not just say it, but mean it, feel it, be thankful. God is calling each of us, each and every one of us, to worship Him with gladness and to enter His gates with thanksgiving. I want you to take a moment. If you're watching online, take a moment to take a personal gratitude inventory. I want to encourage you to make a list of things that you're grateful for. Now, the reality is this list could be never-ending because there are so many things that we could be thankful for. It just goes on and on, right? But make a list. And I want you to make sure that that list is not just superficial. Thank you for my cool Hey Dudes, or, you know, thank you that I have a house. I mean, that's important, but I want you to get deeper within that. Make it personal. What are you personally thankful for? And then I want to challenge you to do two things. Once you've begun to realize that there are things to be thankful for, practice gratitude daily. And that gratitude starts with being grateful to God. Meaning, thanking God every time you pray. And I want you to do the second thing, which is starting next Sunday, even Wednesday night, come into God's presence with thanksgiving regularly. Remember that it's the entrance ticket. That when we come in to worship our God together as a church, we're checking in our thanksgiving. We're walking in with a heart of thanksgiving. We're not walking in with a heart of criticism. We're not walking in with a heart of selfishness. No, we're walking in with a heart of gratitude. Here are some practical tips that have helped me to get better at all of these things. Number one, keeping a gratitude journal. It's essentially what we talked about at the beginning there of just writing down the things that you're thankful for. It's amazing that when you actually take the time to think and then write them down, how much that ingrains into your memory. And the second thing is to share testimonies of God's goodness regularly. Next week, we're going to have a brief time for everybody. We can't have everybody speaking for 20 or 30 minutes. We don't have that kind of time. But next week, we're going to have short time for each person to come and to anyone who wants to share a brief statement of what God is doing, something they are thankful for. What is God doing in your life? How is God good in your life? Sharing that testimony is huge. It doesn't have to be this long-winded thing. All we have to do is say, I'm thankful that God did this in my life. I'm thankful for this gift from God, this blessing from God. And that makes a big difference. Today's message has been a call to internalize and to practice a heart of gratitude, not just a one-time action, but it's a lifestyle. It's a way that we choose to live as followers of Jesus. We talk about being people that are contagious. Part of being contagious is living like this. People notice when you're living a life of gratitude and thankfulness. I'll close with this today. The heart of gratitude is not just about us, but it brings glory to God the Father. Having a heart of gratitude is not about you. It's about Him. My encouragement is, live life that way. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity we've had to break open your word and learn from it today. Father, help us to continue to be a church that is grateful and that is open to your leading, your guiding, and directing. Father, let each and every one of us have a heart of gratitude. And let it be contagious to the people around us. Let us be a people that influence others to be grateful as well. Because you are good. And you deserve our praise. Amen. Have a great week. We will see you on Wednesday night for our community groups and youth group and kids time. It's going to be great.